those of you who have been reading Destined to Reign are, let's say, questioning, and there's nothing wrong with questions. What is good about learning is God has a plan, and His plan is eternal, and it is perfect. I was questioned about why the Lord would ask His believers not to be so focused on guilt. And this has been coming across now for quite a while. Because when you're focused on guilt and you're focused on sin, your constant, let's say, occupation is repentance. You see a mistake, you're immediately into, "I'm sorry, Lord," and you keep on going for about 3 hours. You recover from that and you find that you goofed again. And anybody relate to what I'm talking about? And last Sunday, I asked the people, with a show of hands, with their eyes closed, if they felt that God could really bless them because they were really assured that they were holy and therefore blessable and healable. And a good percentage raised their hands that they couldn't receive from God because of guilt, condemnation, and self-condemnation. And a few weeks back, I had some of those same questions happening in my heart on certain levels, because we can accept certain things from one level, and all of a sudden God starts working on you, and then, you know, you realize, whoops, there's a stumbling block, and you have to deal with it. Well, one of those stumbling blocks is kind of a surprising one, and that is that, what do you do with 1 John 1:9? If the scripture says in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, He's faithful to forgive. And obviously that's written to the church. However, today as I was pressing out to the Lord, "What do you want? What do you want?" He says, "I want you to cover that base today. I want you to cover it now, so that the body of Christ will get a new view of 1 John 1:9 and also of the letter of John, all three of them." So the first thing I did was I went to 1 John 1:9 and I looked to see how many other New Testament examples are in the concordance. Would you like to know how many other confirming instructions from any one of the apostles, prophets of the Lord, of the New Testament, are telling to confess your sins at any point? There isn't one. Not one. Peter never taught it. James never taught it. Paul never taught it. But it is in the Old Testament. Confession of sin, Leviticus 16:21, Leviticus 26:40, Numbers 5:7, Ezra 10:11, Proverbs 28:13, Jeremiah 3:13, and obviously 1 John 1:9. Why? Only one place in the New Testament where the word says confess. Must be something that's up, right? Well, here's the surprise. If you look to the third letter of John, you're going to find that the third letter is written to an elder. If you look at 2 John, the letter is written, the elder. So I want you to keep this in mind, because from the second and third letter, you're going to get a picture of the first one. Third letter first. To my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well, meaning mind, will, and emotions. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Whose children? His. Amen? John's children. Those are spiritual kids. Dear friends, you are faithful in what you are doing. For brothers, even though they are strangers to you, they have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men, so that we may work together for the truth. Verse 9 is a nice piece of info. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Isn't this guy quite a handful? Dear friends, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not chosen or has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace be with you, or peace to you. The friend here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. If you read 2 John, which I will briefly do because I want to skip that one because, you know, it's long. But the bottom line is, a chosen lady, etc. God's mercy and peace, verse 3. Verse 7. Many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is a deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teachings of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work, etc. You think he's talking about the same bird? Is it possible he's talking about the same guy? Or guys? Now go to 1 John. And I want you to kind of see one thing before we go any further. I want you to watch the beginning of the letter, and then when you get to chapter 2, you'll see very clearly it says, "My dear children." But it doesn't say that at the beginning. Because you see, I believe that this man is the head of this church, and he's gone sour. And he's teaching something different. That's why the elders were warned against him. But the people are under him, and they believe a percentage of what he is teaching. But undoubtedly, he's way off course. Verse 1, chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. What does that imply? It implies that this person is out of fellowship. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. So what is he doing? He's trying to guide him back to the truth, but he's going a little deeper. This is the message we have heard from him and declared to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. So now that gives you an awareness that this John has discerned that this particular individuals that are leading this church are off center and they're not having fellowship with the Lord. Verse 7. Now he says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, purifies us from all sin. So now he's trying to lead them back to the Lord. Amen? If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. So undoubtedly they're claiming that they are not sinners. And they're going deeper. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in our lives. Now watch the shift. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father on our defense. Whoa! That's completely off from verse 9, isn't it? It's saying that you have an attorney in heaven who's already in charge of who you are in Christ. Doesn't it? All right. Watch the next part because it's beautiful. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of... So who took care of the sins of the whole world along with yours and mine? Jesus, as long as you believe and have relationship with him. Verse 3, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys the word, his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Where whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Watch, dear friends, I am not writing to you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. In truth, its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing, and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be the light, but hates his brother, is still in darkness. So now he's identifying their failure, but he's not condemning. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, but there is nothing in him that make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in darkness and walks around in darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven. On account of his name. Is there a need to keep confessing? Is there a need to keep you on that merry-go-round? Or have you got an attorney in heaven who's pleading your case constantly?
Then how do you stop?
How do you stop? By declaring who you are in Him. Which is the rest of the word of this particular chapter. You're going to see yourself. You're going to see His living in you. You're going to see His abilities to keep changing you, to keep healing you, keep delivering you. And the value of who you are in Him is going to start making manifest. And you'll begin to see yourself from a new perspective. You'll see yourself as a saint under construction. Watch now. 13. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. Ha ha! Who has overcome? You have. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. So who are you trusting? You're trusting in God's love to keep you focused on Him and not on your sin. I write to you, fathers, because you know Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God lives in you. And you have overcome the evil one. You have overcome the evil one. You! How? How did you overcome him? By the words of your testimony, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Why? Because you're His and He's yours. He's alive in you. So while you're picking on yourself, well, I'll give you a slight adjustment. A few weeks ago, the Holy Spirit said to me, you're going to start speaking when your wife calls herself silly, stupid, all the little innuendos that she speaks about herself when she makes a mistake. Okay? So the first day she had made something for supper and it didn't come out just right. And she says, oh, that was dumb. And I said, no, I'm not married to a dummy. I refuse that. She says, why? I said, because you're my wife and you belong to the Lord. And He doesn't have any dummies. He's got a lot of people under construction. But He doesn't have a dummy and I refuse to be married to one. So don't even go there anymore. I'm not in agreement. A few days later, she says, oh, and I forgot what the answers were, but it was another little innuendo, you know, that she said about herself. And I says, are you kidding? I thought you were a child of God. She says, I am. I said, well, you're not that. Whatever it was. And she says, you're adamant, aren't you? I says, absolutely. I says, I refuse to be married to a lady who says this about herself. And I says, I think God's having a problem with you too. She says, why? I says, He thinks of us as He thinks of His Son, Jesus Christ, because we're in Him. We're part of the body of Christ. So I says, by the way, have you forgotten that He sent His Holy Spirit as a deposit in you? Have you forgotten? Is that deposit something that He's banking on to make you mature and grow up? And stop speaking negatively about yourself. Well, it's up to you. The power of life and the power of death is in your tongue. Right here. Your tongue. So while you're calling yourself silly, stupid, dumb, etc., you don't need the devil. I can't do it, but you're doing your work. You're doing His work for Him. Amen. Thank you. So, how about saying I am loved of the Lord? I am blessed of the Lord. I am honored by God. I'm not a dummy. I'm a child. I'm a son. I'm a daughter. I said, that's a little healthier, isn't it? Come on. Yes. Is it healthier?
Yes.
Is it going to put a downer on you?
No.
No. It's going to lift you up.
Yes.
What is St. John trying to do with these people? He's trying to wake them up. Verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of the sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives part-time. Oh. Part-time's not good enough for you?
No.
Thank you. Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now, many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us, for if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belong to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. So what are you? I am anointed of the Holy One. Try it on. I am anointed of the Holy One. That's the facts. Amen? Look at your neighbor. Say, you're anointed of the Holy One. Hallelujah. And all who know the truth, I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it. And because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So if you get to know Jesus, you get to know Papa and the Holy Ghost. You get them as a package deal. What a bonus. Uh-huh. So, 24. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. Watch the warning now. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what He promised us, even eternal life. I am writing you these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. So He's giving them a warning. As for you, the anointing you received from Him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you, but as His anointing teaches you about all things, and as the anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in Him. So in other words, He's saying, look what you got. You got the counselor on your job. He's there to convince you who you are in Christ. He's there to remain there until you get perfected. He's there not to accuse you, but to give you what? Counsel on how to wake up. He's there to rebuild whatever darkness you have left in you. How many know the sin nature still operates? When you see it, don't get so upset. Talk to your attorney. Talk to your attorney. How many of you ever get sued? Ever get a file suit against you? And the need of an attorney is there? Someone that knows the law? Who do you think knew the law better? You or Jesus? Thank you. Why? Because He was there when the law was given. The law was designed so that they could see their sin. It wasn't designed to kill them. It was designed for them to see they needed a Savior and a Redeemer. And He came. And if He came, did He fail?
No.
He didn't fail. He's your attorney forever and ever, and eternity will prove it. He's on your side. He's not against you. Papa's saying, my kids, I love you. That's where we're going next. Verse 28. And now, dear children, continue in Him, so that when He appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. Unashamed. Unashamed. Close your eyes. Say, Lord, I have a choice. I can either believe the lies about myself that have been spoken over the years, or I can accept God's truth that when Jesus shows up, he is not going to be ashamed of me. Because he will have done a work by his Holy Ghost inside me. And we will celebrate victory together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I choose to be confident and unashamed. Whenever he shows up, he'll see that I'm blood covered. My sins have been washed away. And I am holy and under construction. Thank you, Jesus. You got it. You can read the rest on your own. It's good stuff. But I wanted you to see that one scripture is not designed to put guilt in you. And sometimes religious people can put that in there. And I've seen many books where you have to constantly repent. Talk to Jesus. Talk to him about where you've fallen short and ask him for the solution. What does a counselor do? He's going to counsel you with a solution. Amen?
Amen.
If the spotlight has shown up on some darkness, rejoice. How many have seen one weakness in the past month? Well, I'm trying to be nice. If you've seen one weakness in the past month, week or day, doesn't matter. Ask him for a solution. Amen? Say, Lord Jesus, I expect the Holy Ghost to talk to me. I'm available for dreams, visions, words of knowledge, a scripture, anything you want. I'm wanting to get freer than I was yesterday. Freer than I was last year. Because the recovery is still in progress. And the freedom is yours in Christ. May the anointing now continue to overwhelm you. And that love will so flow towards you that you will know that there is no condemnation. There is no shame. There is nothing to be afraid of because he's still in the control room. He hasn't quit his job. He's not retired yet. Amen. Share some hugs with each other.